Well, the periodic table, reimagined as a meditative garden. Black holes sculpted from wire. Those are just a couple of my next guest's innovative works of art. Rebecca Kamen has been recognized around the world for how she mines the intersection of art and science in her work. And this week, she's in Winnipeg for a series of lectures and workshops. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
So your art has been inspired by a vast range of subject matter, from rare scientific books and manuscripts to theories of black holes and now neuroscience. What ties these interests together for you?
A huge curiosity for the world around me. And what's been really interesting as I sort of navigate all these different scientific fields is the observation and realization that there's so many bridges between them, most of which exist in patterns that make up these different scientific phenomena. So if I'm looking at outer space, those patterns are a lot larger. If I'm looking inward at neuroscience, it's similar patterns, but at a smaller scale. So patterns become really significant in our understanding of the world around us.
I have come to believe that at least my generation and generations before mine were raised to see science and art as a choice. It's an or, not an and. How much resistance have you felt from people when it comes to combining art and science?
Well, at first they seem a little resistant, but then after I either show them my work or talk to them, I can see that those chasms seem to be getting smaller. And actually, if I might mention, that before the advent of the camera, scientists had to be artists. It was the only way that they could record their observations and share them with other people. So if you look through the history of science and you see these beautiful archives of drawings, they're not done by artists. They're actually done by scientists. The other thing I've noticed, because I spend a lot of time in a range of scientific communities, that once you invite a scientist to start thinking about their work from an aesthetic point of view, all things are possible.
How did you get into this type of art?
Well, I can tell you two words. Curiosity and discovery. I came into the world as a very curious human being. I love science. I came into the world being dyslexic, so that was never going to be a career path in a traditional sense because of just the way my own brain is wired. But the interesting thing is people that are dyslexic learn by making connections. So I make all these connections that most scientists are in awe of. And usually when I'm in a scientific community, scientists usually say to me that they can't believe I have no formal science education. Right. How do I know this stuff? Because I'm curious.
Yeah. You're currently the artist in residence in the neuroscience program at the University of Pennsylvania. How has that residency informed the direction of your art?
The title of it is actually Computational Neuroscience and also Astronomy and Physics Department. Right now, actually, I'm embarking on a new scientific adventure. I am investigating the relationship of curiosity, cognition, and the creative process in art and science. I am trying to understand what makes me curious. I'm trying to understand what you're asking me, you know, in a way that I can sort of look at it scientifically, but then use it in a poetic way to really show people that how we acquire knowledge, that this it's just incredibly magnificent when you see it, because we have actually taken... I'm working with this wonderful postdoctoral student, and what we're doing is he is able to chart the knowledge networks I have been exploring over a period of time that have enabled me to come to this conclusion or this piece of artwork. And it's magnificent when you see this thing plotted. We're plotting it like a scientist would plot anything that they're examining. And the plot was so dense, I asked him, I said, is there any way you can tease out some of the denseness? I couldn't believe how much I was examining just to make one art installation. Mm-hmm. And so he was able to animate it, and it was so beautiful to see how dynamic this process of discovery is, this process of being curious is. And the hope is to be able to create an installation that will celebrate that, so more people will get excited about their own capacity for curiosity.
All right, cool. Now you're wrapping up a series of workshops and lectures here in Winnipeg. What have you taken away from your visit?
Just the richness and diversity of the people that I've worked with, and how excited they are to realize how they can connect to science in their own unique way. I mean, the audiences that I've worked with have been in the scientific community, the arts community, a middle school. I also work with the indigenous population at the school, which was really fascinating. And to realize that everyone gets to contribute. You do not have to be a scientist to be able to be curious about science and to explore it in your own way.
I wanted to get your thoughts on the idea that the science world is starting to acknowledge and respect the data and information they're getting from many different worlds, not just from the arts world, but from indigenous peoples around the world as well, like when it comes to climate science and that sort of thing. I wonder what conversations you had with the indigenous students that you met.
Well, I'm a real big proponent for the history of science, and I'm not just talking Western science. I've done a lot of research in terms of what we call indigenous knowledge. And I was invited to do a big project in Australia at an independent girls' school 2 years ago, and the project explored the intersections of art, science, and Aboriginal cultural views about the land. And in researching for that project with these students, I uncovered some really fascinating observations. One, for instance, is their creation animal is called the rainbow serpent. And it was very interesting to me because I really believe that that rainbow serpent is related to the color spectrum,
Okay. Which
what we call the visible spectrum. So it was really exciting for me to be able to share those findings with the indigenous student population here via this lecture. And I just think it's really important to honor wherever you get knowledge. I mean, I, as a college professor for many years, I always told students to never limit your way of gathering information, because sometimes it can just be looking at a leaf, that everything in nature and the world around you tells you its story. And your role as an artist or a scientist is to tell its story through your work.
Thanks so much for joining me today, Rebecca.
Well, thank you. I've really enjoyed this.
Rebecca Kamen is an award-winning American sculptor. This evening, she's giving an artist talk at 7 o'clock at the Manitoba Craft Council.